flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It is Blue Easter Cult. It's a football championship game Friday, which we'll do our picks for coming up here in a couple of minutes. If you want to get in, it's last hour, so I suggest you do it now. Any predictions for the NFC and AFC championship game? But let's go back real quick. A couple of days ago, John Harbaugh met with the media, along with Eric DaCosta, and one of the questions was, John, talking about potential coaching departures.
Well, it's not for me to really know. I don't know for sure. I think it's awesome and great that these coaches have gotten an opportunity over the last few years. You know, I'm kind of proud of that. And the fact that guys are getting opportunities now, whatever those might be, I'm not exactly sure because it's still pretty early. But you might have a better beat on that than I do sometimes, you know, in terms of following up on what's going on, but whatever chances they get, they're most deserving of.
Now, Nolan McGraw, you had this breaking news for us during the break. There has, in fact, been a coaching departure out there. One Winning Drive, let our audience know. Breaking news, what it is.
Inside linebacker coach Mark DeLeon is out. He was only here for 1 year, joined the staff. However, previously worked in the NFL coaching inside linebacker rooms, notably in Chicago with Roquan Smith when he was there a few years back.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I'm guessing that a lot of it had to do with Simpson was was better at the beginning. At the end of the year, he wasn't even playing. So there was no development there. So, and we saw Roquan start off very poorly, and he got better as it went along. So, with DeLeon, I'm guessing it's probably a lot of it had to do with can he develop players? Because when you look at the history of his, where he's been and what he's done, a lot of one-year stuff, like Kansas City inside linebacker coach, 18, Chicago Bears, 19 and 20, Detroit, 21, Kansas, University of Kansas, 22. So, yeah, a lot of one-and-dones.
So, not saying he was scapegoated, but certainly they were unhappy with his job performance. Because one-and-done, you know, is not an ideal situation for him and for the Ravens. You have to admit that, you know, that was a bad choice right there.
And then, Nolan, did you see the Hard Knocks one when they were doing his pregame talk to the linebackers?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was every other word was F this, okay. F that, you know, kind of thing. And maybe a Bashotti or maybe somebody didn't like that. I don't know. But I think it probably had most of with Simpson.
What's surprising to me, he's very young. He's 37 years old. Started in the NFL when he was 25.
Wow.
As a defensive assistant with the Jets. And even before that, doing some stuff in college as a 23-year-old.
Well, something tells me he's going to F this, F that right now.
Yeah.
He was told to clean out his office. Now, getting back to the coaches that are still here, or at least one that might not be on a full-time basis, John Harbaugh, Dean Pease. All right, we talked about him maybe wanting to take more of a secondary role in 25, but while he was here full-time as an analyst, his role in Zach Orr's development as the season went on.
Dean was, like I said, he was a sounding board and an ear, and he had ideas, and he functioned as part of the staff. The thing about coaching staff, and I think it's really important that people, you should understand this, I guess, because you work in different organizations, but it's always a collaboration. It's a team effort. And Dean was part of the team, you know, and brought his abilities and experience and knowledge to the table, and was just a great teammate that way, and helped. I think he helped. He sure helped Zach. I mean, Zach's great young coach. First year as a coordinator, there's things you have to learn only by experiencing. And Dean been a coordinator for probably 30 of the 40 or 45 years he's been a coach. And he learned all these things sometimes the hard way. For Zach to be able to tap into that knowledge and that experience right away, fast, was really, really positive. And I think Zach would tell you the same thing. So that was a big part of it.
And Bob, the other thing I was just thinking is, you know, back to DeLeon with the inside linebacker. What position did Zach Orr coach prior to becoming the coordinator?
Linebackers, right?
Yeah, same position. And, you know, so maybe he didn't like the development. And I'm sure Harb's, you know, I mean, normally when after the season, meet with your coordinators and is there anybody that you weren't happy with? And I'm sure that he asked Dean Pease that too about, you know, what do you think of the coaching staff? And I'm guessing because Simpson kind of went backwards. And if you draft an inside backer and you're the inside backer coach, Simpson I'm talking about, kind of go to bat for that guy. So maybe Zach Orr probably wasn't happy with the development of Simpson and probably saw some things that it's like, no, this is not going to work.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Blue Oyster Cult just tuning in to the show. We talked about Pete Carroll just tuning in. Everybody, he gets the job with the Raiders at 74 years old, 3 years with an option for a fourth. But in Jacksonville, Liam Cohen pulled himself from consideration a couple of days ago. Reached an agreement with Tampa to become the highest paid guy at his position in the NFL. And then Jacksonville parted ways with GM Trent Baalke, reached back out to Cohen about the head coaching job. He reconsidered. Now he's ready to rock and roll. And I guess didn't really let Tampa know that he was doing the old two-step out the door.
No, I guess Tampa was trying to locate him.
Tell him about the new contract.
Yeah, and he said, you know, like, where are you? Where were you? He said, I was at the doctor with my son.
Yeah.
You know, and he was in Jacksonville doing a new deal. So, 38 years old, you kind of pissed off some people. Just win, baby, win. That's what I would say. Just keep winning and do a good job there. So I'm sure the Tampa people are really pissed off because they probably feel like, hey, we stepped up. We did this. He said he wouldn't go back and interview with him. And then what does he do? But I think, you know, we had talked about it earlier with Howard Balzer. Trent Baalke, I mean, that was the dumb thing because you eliminate a lot of candidates because a GM that had gotten two coaches fired in his tenure, people know who Trent, your reputation stays with you, and that's Trent's reputation. And nobody, I told Todd Monken, I said, Todd, that's a bad job. You don't want to go there if Trent Baalke's there. So, you know, they would have had a much better list of candidates had they got rid of Baalke at the same time.
And the guy that actually makes this change is Liam Cohen, of all people. It wasn't like a long-tenured coach that interviewed there and said, hey, I'm not coming until Baalke's gone. You let the first-year guy, the guy that's not even 40 years old, he has the clout to come in there and say...
Well, I'm guessing Ben Johnson would have had that clout, but I think he wanted the Chicago job.
Right.
You know, so maybe any veteran guy would have done that. I mean, otherwise, you're just going in there to fail. That's what you're doing.
Well, good luck getting Trevor Lawrence to play to the number one overall pick status if he can stay healthy. Travis Etienne bottomed out this year. I mean, that's a flawed roster. And Jacksonville, 2 years ago, they were the up-and-coming powerhouse in the league, and 2 years later, Doug Peterson's fired, and there's all sorts of questions surrounding that team, where Houston is now the de facto favorites because they won it 2 years in a row. Yeah. Colts, who knows what's going on there, and the Titans have the first pick in the draft with an unknown at quarterback right now.
Yeah, and a bad quarterback draft, which stinks, and a new GM coming in. Bob, I mean, their president taught... I mean, their president and GM, basically they talked at two different times and kind of contradicted each other already.
Well, they're off to a great start. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. It's our picks for the championship games coming up on Sunday. First game is Philadelphia and Washington from Philadelphia. It's a 3 o'clock kick, and then the nightcap, the AFC title game as Kansas City hosts Buffalo. All of this comes on after Maryland hoops. Of course, we talked about this first hour and a half of the show in great detail. Maryland wins last night at Illinois. Blow them off the court. As a matter of fact, Maryland only hits three threes and still puts 91 on the board. But you got to follow that up with a win at Bloomington.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Sunday.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday. Blue is the call. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We're down to the next to last Sunday. Yes. Let that sink in. Next to last Sunday of the football season, NFL, with the championship games. And as we talked about last hour with our, with Howard Balzer, it's for the first time since like August, there's no Saturday football, college or pro. It's it. It's insane. Passage of time. Wonder if I can still cash that $12. I stare at it and sit in my car, the $12 parking voucher from the Green Turtle in Towson before the opener against Kansas City. Or is it expired like a scratch-off that you didn't put in?
I think it expired when Chuck left.
Yeah, I did. Or maybe I vacuumed it the last time I washed my car, which was many, many months ago. But anyway, here we are down to championship weekend. You can hear both games. 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, before we get to the picks, let our audience know. First of all, it's for beer. Ultra's for the kid here. Yingling for Nolan. And then Vinny gets the Vino. Vinny won the regular season handily, pulling away in the final couple months of the season. Where do we stand heading into Sunday's action?
Well, the king of the playoffs, always has been, always will be, is on top.
Oh boy.
I'm 10-3. Vinny is two games back.
Oh yeah.
Two games back, 8-5, and Bob is 4 back at 6-7.
Yeah, Bob's hoping the prop bets come in for him to avoid spending even more money here. But we'll start with the first game. It's the Washington Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles. It's the third battle between the two teams. Philly won on a Thursday night there in a 26-18 game where Washington was kind of hanging but couldn't seem to get over the hump. And then on December the 22nd down at FedEx Field, what it used to be called, was it Northwest Stadium?
Northwest Stadium.
36-33. Washington turned the ball over 5 times, but Jaden Daniels threw 5 touchdown passes. Jamison Crowder was huge in that game. Jalen Hurts got knocked out. Kenny Pickett got hurt in that game, if you recall, with the hand injury. 36-33. So it's round three. It's the thriller in Manila. It's in Philadelphia. The Eagles are 6-point favorites. Keeping in mind, everybody, the spreads are for entertainment purposes only. We're just picking winners. And since, Nolan, you are Mr. Playoffs over there, as you just let everyone know, you get to kick off, if you will, the festivities this week.
Well, this is all about Jalen Hurts. You know, what condition is he in? How do they want to use him? Or is he just going to flat out lose them the game? Because, let's be honest, that defense is Super Bowl caliber. All of the other offensive weapons there, the O-line, Super Bowl caliber. Now, they gave up some pressure last week, but I wonder how much of that was due to the snow. It was kind of uncharacteristic for them up front. I think they'll be much better this time around. As long as they don't ask Hurts to do too much, like take off and run on design runs, they should be able to win this thing. So I'm going to take Philly. Commanders, again, no slight to them. Just might be bit too big of a moment for a younger team on the road.
I hate to say it, Norm. I think you're right. I wanted to go opposite of what you're doing, you know, just because I need the wins. But I'll take Philly, too.
I'm going Washington. What else do I have to lose? You know what I mean? The Commanders, Jaden Daniels. I remember Roethlisberger got to the championship game his rookie year. They got spanked by New England. So it's a rare occasion to even get this far as a rookie, and he's got a couple of playoff wins under the belt now, so he's not going to be intimidated or influenced negatively by situations here. I like the Commanders to pull the upset against the Eagles over there. All right, Nolan, what's that AFC thing looking like for you?
Well, Chiefs and Bills, much more narrow of a spread here. Kansas City only favored by 1.5 at home. The over-under is 48.5. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one. I know, big shocker, right? But on one side, you have a team that has been there and done that to the extreme. 7 straight conference championship games, all the Super Bowl trips, the Super Bowl wins. They're going to show up on Sunday. This might as well feel like a preseason game to them. They've been here. They've done that so many times. Their legacy is established tenfold. On the other side, the Bills. Last week, we talked about Lamar versus Allen, the legacy, what was on the line for both sides. That's still in play for Josh Allen. He's still trying to get over that Chiefs hump. Throw in the atmosphere there at Arrowhead. Throw in at least one bogus call from the refs, probably more.
Uh-oh.
It's got to be a Chiefs win.
Damn it, Norm. Yeah, I don't want to bet against Mahomes, you know, until he proves me wrong. I'll take the Chiefs, too.
Going Buffalo, going back to last week. I said the winner of Baltimore and Buffalo is going to win the Super Bowl. Not get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. So, spoiler alert for my Super Bowl pick if the Bills advance. Josh Allen's, what, 4-1 against KC during the regular season? Or 3-1, something? 0-3 in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we talk about this invincible Patrick Mahomes. He's lost 2 title games at home. Joe Burrow beat him, and Brady beat him his first year. That should have been a Kansas City win. Remember the offsides that negated the interception? And look, they got spanked in a Super Bowl by Tom Brady. And by the way, we can get it, not to get off topic too much, get into the greatest of all time, Brady be like, well, I beat you in a championship game and I beat you in a Super Bowl. Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But they've lost at home before is my point. Buffalo should have beat them 2 years ago in that epic, or 3 years ago in that epic game. I think they get it done. I think that Kansas City's going to have to score with them, and I don't know if they're capable of doing so. It's a season-long melees with the offense that leads me to believe can't happen. Then again, Travis Kelce was big against Houston last week, and we saw the Ravens tight ends make plays, until they didn't, of course, against Buffalo. I'm liking the Bills to win outright and get themselves to their first Super Bowl since after the 1993 season. And we all know how much of a debacle that four-year stretch for Bills fans there. So there you go. I'm going Commanders and Bills, setting up a rematch of whatever number that Super Bowl was after the 91 season.
I hope you're right. I mean, I'm picking with my brain here. I'm not picking with my heart, but definitely rooting for the Bills, no doubt about it. I said it last week. Some people in the Ravens fan base are a little ticked off about what happened losing to the Bills. You don't want to bring yourself to root for the team that knocked you out. But when they're facing the Chiefs, I mean, come on. You got to root for anybody over the Chiefs.
That we're going there. I'm not at that level of Chiefs fatigue yet.
No, I'm not.
But we're getting there.
Really? Yeah.
We're getting there.
I think it's worse than the Pats in their peak.
The Pats were arrogant. Andy Reid's a likable guy. Belichick wasn't.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And New England's first Super Bowl, they got lucky. They were like 10-point underdogs against the Rams.
Yeah.
Another synergy thing for Washington versus the Bills. When they met in the Super Bowl after 91 in the championship game, Washington beat the Detroit Lions. Who did they just beat in the playoffs? Yeah. In the championship game in the AFC?
It's Buffalo all coming together.
Buffalo beat Denver. And who did Buffalo beat in the first round of the playoffs?
Nah.
Denver Broncos. John Elway got knocked out of that game. Carlton Bailey, a Baltimore kid, got a scoop and score on a fumble as Kubiak came in for old number 7, got his bell rung. I'm just saying there's a lot of things connecting dots. Now they just need to move the Super Bowl to Minnesota. It'd be a lock to take place. What do you think, people? Get on in here. Reports at 583-1057.
But Bob, wasn't there a lot of stuff with the Ravens, you know? A lot of mojo with the Ravens.
Every Lamar, 12 years.
Every 12 years.
Flacco.
We'll come back, break down the two teams NFC on film. What's Jaden Daniels going to bring to the equation against that Philly defense? And does Jalen Hurts have the wherewithal to put up big numbers against the Washington D, which come up Sunday? Now let's get to the NFC, Philadelphia versus Washington.
Yeah, let's look at Philly's... Let's look at Philly's D, because I think that's going to be a big part of it. Because their offense is pretty damn good, Philly's. You know, it's going to come down to what Hurts are you getting? You know, are you getting a guy that's going to hold a ball, get the ball out quick? And can Washington stop Barkley? I mean, the first thing you got to do, you're playing Philly, is, all right, how do we stop Saquon Barkley? And that's going to be the big thing. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, A.J. Brown, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run those slant routes and stuff. And Devonta Smith, he's an outstanding receiver. The tight end, Dallas Goedert, who's questionable, outstanding player. They have a huge offensive line. So, Mekhi Becton, Lane Johnson. But they've been having some problems. What'd you say, Bob? They gave up 8 sacks last week? Yeah, they've been having some problems with the offensive line. And I think a lot of that is because Jalen Hurts can't move. He's kind of a statue back there, and what are people doing? They're bringing the heat. Now, when you look at their defense, though, I mean, to stop the run, I mean, Jordan Davis, big monster. That was the 14th pick of the draft, and I remember we were hoping the Ravens wouldn't take him. And then Jalen Carter's, to me, if not the best, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. He is a wrecker. He's an offensive wrecker, and he lines up at on the right side. And he's going to cause him some problems because he can stop the run. He's got quickness, explosiveness. He's got pass rush moves. The only thing is he doesn't have the speed to chase down Jaden Daniels if he's running. Nolan Smith Jr., the wheel backer, he's a good player. Zach Bond is Pro Bowl linebacker.
First team all
pro. Yeah. So he's a stud there. Playmaker. He makes a ton of plays. Now, N'Kobe Dean is out. So Oren Burks is in. So that's a drop off there because N'Kobe Dean, another Georgia dude, you know, he could run. And then Sweat makes plays for them too. So, I mean, and then in the secondary, Quinyon Mitchell was their first round draft pick. He's a hell of a corner. And then Darius Slay, he got picked on a little bit last week, but he was right there to make the interception. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Blankenship and the Cooper DeJeans, their nickelback, they got good players on defense. They got a great D coordinator. I think they have number one defense in the league. And with their defense, it's going to come down to Jaden Daniels making plays and McLaren. And can they get any run game whatsoever? Because they can't put it all on the shoulders of Jaden Daniels. And I think that's what Vic Fangio will try to do. Make them one-dimensional. All right, and you got to beat us with Jaden Daniels. You got to beat us throwing the ball or running the ball. And I would imagine that they'll have a spy. Probably, I would think the spy may be Cooper DeJean.
And you mentioned the two rookies, DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah.
Both finalists for Defensive Rookie of the Year, too.
Oh, they had a hell of a draft. I mean, in the Ravens, it came down to Cooper DeJean or Wiggins. And they went with Wiggins because he's an outside corner, where DeJean is more the inside guy, which he's playing for them. But you got to talent-wise, I mean, when you go up and down that roster of Philadelphia, it's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. So for them, yeah, what is Hurts going to do? That's going to be the key for them. Can he get the ball to the wide receivers? That'll be the big thing. And then, you know, with Washington, with Cosme out, Trent Scott's going to be in. How's that? Who's going to be able to handle, you know, Carter? And then Zach Ertz is his guy on offense. I mean, that's his security blanket.
Against his ex-team.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be interesting. And McLaren's got to play big. Brian Robinson, they got to have some sort of run game, Bob. Otherwise, it'll be really hard for them to hold up with that Philly defense. But if Brian Robinson Jr., and I like him, and Eckler, if they can get close to 100 yards rushing, that I think they got a chance to win then.
Now, Robinson, as we said, he fumbled twice in the last game against Philly, but he did score twice against Detroit this past weekend in the divisional round.
Yeah, and well, defensively, I mean, yeah, I their offense is, you know, and is Jaden Daniels going to be? I don't expect him to be anything different than calm, cool, collective. I mean, that's what he is every game. And they'll make McLaren's a special dude at wide receiver, but is the defense good enough to hold up? You know, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, Bob, the last time they played, he got worn out. You know, yep. I mean, they said he played his best game last weekend. So can he do that? Can the secondary hold up, you know, for them? And pass rush wise, you know, I guess Dante Fowler Jr. is the one that's kind of been giving them a little bit. So defensively, there's a big difference between Washington and Philadelphia.
And you talk real quick, Vinny, about stopping Saquon Barkley. Easier said than done. Two games against Washington this year, he's rushed for 296 yards.
Woo.
146 in the first one, 150 in the second one. So.
And if he duplicates that, Bob, I don't see how they lose. Philly.
It's a very good point. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw. That Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. At Illinois, yeah, they were missing Vizovich, the big boy. He had a illness. He was sick, but that's their problem. Maryland handled them accordingly. Maryland's two big boys did a number on them as Julian Reese. Great game. Best game as a Terp. 27-17, three blocks. Derek Queen, 25-6-4. Jacoby Gillespie had 15-8 assists. So it's off to Indiana, taking on the Hoosiers, who blow a halftime lead at Northwestern the other night. Tonight, you got Michigan and Purdue on Fox.
Ooh.
Little Big Ten fun moving on there. So something to watch at 8 o'clock if you're looking for a little round ball fun. We'll have the Maryland-Indiana game for you, of course, Sunday with the noon tip, followed by the championship games and everything going on there. We're, less than a month away for pitchers and catchers. And Vinny, you were telling me this off the air. College football season end Monday. Next year's championship games in Vegas.
Vegas, January the 25th.
What?
Yes. January the 25th.
January 25th for the end of college football, which now starts at the end of August.
So that'll be a Sunday, right? Next year?
No, it's 28 days in February. It's got to be a Monday, right? I'm guessing it's got to be a Monday.
I guess.
Point is, it's the end of January. Right. Remember the significance that January 1st or 2nd used to hold when it comes to determining the championship in college football? Because Maryland, for instance, opened August 28th this year.
January 25th is a Sunday. Why would they play it on a Sunday night?
I don't know.
It better not be lined up with the championship.
Zero sense whatsoever. No. Sure, it's not the Pro Bowl they're talking about there? Anyway.
No.
So August 28th. September, October, November, December, January. 5 months. 5 months.
I mean, what's the gripe, though? What's the problem?
It's too long. Aren't they getting the education they were supposed to be getting? What's wrong with this education? I thought it was all about the kids.
Bob, and for those schools, it's mandatory that they're there for summer school. So they're there all summer, so add 2 more months to your equation there.
Oh, boy. So there you go. Hey, if Maryland's in it, they can play it on March 28th. You know what I'm saying? But not holding my breath for that one. All right, Nolan, what are your plans for this weekend? A football-less Saturday for the first time since August.
I got nothing going on here. I'm watching football on Sunday. That's all I know. Clear out the calendar. Probably order a little takeout and glue myself to my couch.
Oh, boy, I'm running hot.
What's up?
I'm checking traffic. I'm walking out the door.
There's
in 10
your first
minutes.
Mistake.
Yeah, right. Disabled vehicle, center lane by Route 40.
Ugh.
Right on the way home. That now turns my, which would have been 35-minute drive, into probably an hour. Get that piece of crap off the road, unless it's, you know, flat tire or something.
So does that, what time is you pop the first beer then?
I got to clean the house. I got to change litter boxes, just giving you a behind-the-curtain look.
You got to do your chores.
Yeah, I got to do my chores
eat
first,
your dessert.
Probably around 3:30. Then I'll be shaking up the old Sour Berries and Lemonade around 4:15. Going to watch the replay of the fight that was on at 4 o'clock in the morning, ESPN Plus, and then I'll be good to go. Inside Access coming up next. Let's go to the Fun House.
Quick Draws Fun House.
Jesus.
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Howard in Baltimore says the announcers during the Maryland game last night said it best. The Terps were a blur offensively against Illinois. Outstanding all-around performance. Reese and Queen looking like one of the better big man duos in the country. First road win off their back as well. Hopefully they play loose moving forward and can maintain that same level of play.
Yeah, get on Indiana early. They might fold up shop if you do that. And tell you what, Derek Queen, very, very good passer in the post. He's got good court vision.
Yes, he does.
For a young freshman player. And Julian Reese, I mean, he's developed an offensive repertoire. He's got the floaters in the lane, a little baseline jumper, hitting 70% close to at the line. Commend him. And he still doesn't look like Karl Malone. But, boy, has he put on some muscle mass since he first got here 4 years ago.
A lot of ways, I almost feel like he was, you know, battle-tested by those early, when he was a freshman. Remember he went up against like Hunter Dickinson and guys like that.
Zach Edey.
I mean, those will shape you. Those
and
battles.
He was banging around. He was pushing those Illinois boys off of him easily last night.
This one here from Rashawn. I think he's got his Cowboys hat on for this one. Says, question for the Fun House. Is Jaden Daniels actually the real deal? Or is this a fluke year where he'll have maybe a C.J. Stroud-like sophomore slump?
Oh, I think that's why Houston just fired their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Bobby's
and how many times did he get sacked, Bob? Like 90?
A bazillion.
Yeah.
It felt like 400, I'm sure.
I would think that Jaden Daniels is just beginning.
Yeah, and the irony is they were both second picks.
Yeah.
Bryce Young showed a pulse big time at the end of the year for Carolina. We'll see what Caleb Williams will have in store for us next year with the Bears.
How about a text here on the Orioles? Texter says, starting to convince myself that the O's won't be landing another ace in a trade. I believe they view Grayson Rodriguez as the true ace of the team and hope that he will finally blossom into that this year. Seems like a kind of risky move, though, if you've got World Series dreams. Remove any of the three, Grayson, Kramer, Eflin. Rotation looking a little dicey there.
Well, Charlie Morton's got big-time playoff experience and great success in it. He's just now in his 40s. We'll see what Sagano brings to the table. Doesn't throw balls or doesn't walk people. Puts the ball in play. Gets a lot of ground balls. Let's wait. Don't lose your minds yet. I mean, we're still 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. They could swing another move here. You never know. Luis Castillo, I'm not against that by any stretch of the imagination.
Texter here on Ravens needs says the only thing the Ravens are missing is more of an attitude on defense. As Texter says, they need a dog, especially on the back end, someone in that secondary. More attitude, more aggression on this defense.
Kyle Hamilton's a dog. Marlon Humphrey is, and Roquan Smith and Matabike. Those four guys are nasty MFers, I think.
Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, aggressiveness would work against you if you're a corner. I mean, Wiggins is a little handsy, a little grabby.
And he could probably gamble. He's a gambler.
Mm-hmm. And last text, Don in Severna Park. Says basically Todd Monken did the same thing he did last year in the biggest game of the season, and that is the opposite of what got them there. Not enough Derrick Henry, no rollout runs for Lamar, no real misdirection fakes to catch the defense lacking. Are we supposed to hope he doesn't get stupid when it matters most next year as well?
Now, they did have over 400 yards, and had over 400 yards and turned it over three times and had three drops. I thought other than two plays in that series, down on the goal line. Otherwise, I thought he caught a fine game. The second down play, the pass to Ronnie Stanley, bad call.
I would have kicked the extra point at the end of the third quarter.
Yes, but, that's not Monken.
Yeah. But it's funny, as Rashawn's text as we get out of here, he's asking if Daniels is a fluke, maybe a flash in a pan, and we have other people think that Lamar needs to be more like Jaden Daniels. So there you go. It's all about a matter of perspective, I would assume, everyone. We're done. Have a great weekend, everybody. Inside Access is coming up next. We'll talk to you on... I'm off Monday. Cordell Woodland's going to be in here. I'll be back on Tuesday. Turn it up Tuesday at that, and we'll know who the Super Bowl participants are. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Hayden. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.